He's in the Gospel of John. John chapter 7.
John 7, verse 37.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, This is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse number 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Now, chapter 10 and verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. We trust that God will bless these readings. Our subject tonight will center around a single word, and that is the word division. We have read from the Gospel of John a threefold repetition that there was a division among the people. And we are reminded from Holy Scripture that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so we would trust that the Holy Spirit of God would impress something of this very solemn truth upon the hearts of all who are present. Not forgetting those of us who are saved, that the thought of an eternal division will exercise our hearts and our souls and our prayers more frequently and more fervently in the presence of our God. The subject of division is one that fills the pages of our Bible. We begin in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 4, and we read there that God divided the light from the darkness. Now that is what we would call a natural division. Natural light divided from natural darkness. There's light in the hall tonight, and there's darkness outside. And then when we come to the New Testament Scriptures, we learn that there is a spiritual light and there is a spiritual darkness. And there are those in the meeting, and they have been saved by the grace of God, and they are walking in the light as He is in the light, as we read in the first epistle of John in chapter 1. And there are others in the meeting, and they are in spiritual darkness. And it's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel that during the course of the meeting they might be brought from darkness into light, as we read of in Colossians chapter 1, and that will be accomplished by the power of God and the power of God alone. And then when we look to the future, oh, how solemn it is to think that there is eternal light and there is eternal darkness. And everybody in the meeting is going to be either in the eternal light of heaven, or they're going to be in the eternal darkness of hell and of the lake of fire. Oh, I trust, friend, in this meeting that you understand that the subject of division is a very solemn subject, and that the whole Bible is contained, the subject is contained in the pages of the whole Bible. We could then begin to look at the first family on earth and how it was divided, and take your thoughts and our own thoughts again through the pages of Holy Scripture, and show you families that were divided, and nations that were divided, and the world itself that is divided. But we want to compass our thoughts tonight to the company that is present in this building. And this company is divided. My Bible divides this company in two. And the person of Christ divides this company in two. And the cross of Calvary and the work that was accomplished there divides this company into two. And we would use a number of scriptural expressions to remind you in the meeting that you're either saved or you are lost. You are either on the broad road that leads to destruction, or you are on the narrow road that leads to heaven. We would remind you that you're living in your sins, or you have exercised faith in Christ and you are put in Him. Oh, that every person present would examine his heart and his life, and her heart and her life, and examine your little experience as you have traveled across the scene of time up until this present moment. How do you stand in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where we're bringing our division to tonight. Everything for eternity hinges upon this great person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to remind you that the birth of Christ divides time. But oh, we do need to remind you that the death of Christ, His crucifixion and His burial and His resurrection and His glorious person, I say again, it divides this company and it will divide humanity for all the ages of eternity. We would ask you a very personal and a very pointed question that Moses asked in his day of the people, who is on the Lord's side? Oh, there was a time in your experience, if you're going to heaven, and if you're never going to be in the eternal darkness that we have spoken about, there was a time in your life's experience when you made a choice, and when you trusted a person, and when you know him, as we read in this very gospel, in chapter 17, whom to know is life eternal. I want to draw three lessons from the three passages that we have read concerning this person. And I want to suggest that in chapter 7, where we began to read, that we have a division among the people because of the proclamation that he made. Oh, he made a proclamation. And these words have relevance to this meeting. In the last day, the great day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stood and cried. This is the last meeting of the 1982 conference meetings in Lurgan. We have been sufficiently impressed during the course of the meetings that it could be the last meetings ever to be held in the town of Lurgan and ever to be held in this building. And while we rejoice to think that the gospel is going to be preached, it is only in the will of God. Solemn possibility, unsaved friend, in the meeting that you might never see this coming Lord's Day. You might never sit in this series of meetings at all. And so we proclaim tonight in your hearing that it could be the last time you'll ever hear the call. Words like that were expressed in one of the hymns that we did sing. God's house is filling fast, yet there is room. Some soul will be the last, yet there is room. Oh, how sad if the last soul tonight were to be saved in Nova Scotia, or in Japan, or in Venezuela, that we were hearing about in the last meeting. And sinners that have sat and heard the gospel in the north of Ireland and in the town of Lurgan, and sinners that have been brought up in the most favorable circumstances, find themselves in a deep hell. There was a statement made in this meeting, in these meetings, that there's a very special place in hell for Judas. That is true. There's also special places in hell for Christ rejecters. Deeper down in Tyre and Sidon must the Christ rejecter be. Oh, we would call out tonight, dear friend, as if we were preaching for the last time, as if we were in the last gospel meeting that ever was to be held. Is there a thirsty soul in the meeting? Oh, you feel the weight of sin. You're tired of the world. Oh, you're sick of all that the devil has brought you into and brought you through. Are you here tonight thirsting for salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ would call to you through the scriptures and through the message of the gospel. Come man, come woman, come boy, come girl. Stoop down and drink and live. The thought of the proclamation is connected with the thought of life. In John chapter 7. And that reminds us of another truth that we proclaim in the gospel. That is that men and women and boys and girls in their natural state, they are dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. That removes every human possibility of anyone doing anything or giving anything or making any sacrifice to bring about their salvation. Dead men and dead women and dead boys and dead girls, they can do nothing. They need life. They need life. And as already quoted from chapter 17, it's in the knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from chapter 3 of the gospel, it's the one who is believing on him. And from chapter 1 of the gospel, it's the one who is receiving him. I want to repeat again a statement that we often make. That even in these days of depression, in these days of deflation of the value of money, the gospel of John can be readily procured for a small sum of money. And it could bring life to a weary soul. And it could bring life to a hungry soul. And it could bring life to a thirsty soul. And it could bring life to a dead soul. I ask you tonight, my friend, in the language of some of the words that we have used already, are you saved or are you lost? Are you on the way to heaven or are you on the way to hell and to the lake of fire? Are you in the light tonight or are you still in the darkness? The Lord Jesus Christ, he stood and he cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It was part of the afternoon meeting almost developed into a little stream of the gospel. And we were reminded about the young man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and went away and left him. And the Savior did not reach out his hand and stop him. And he did not call to him to come back. God forbid that any person in this meeting would turn away from Christ. If they hear the voice of Christ, if they feel the strivings of the Holy Spirit, our text emphasizes, dear friend, personal responsibility. If any man thirst, let him. I say with all reverence and with all holiness, that blessed one will not take his divine hand and bring you to the water to drink. You will come there as a thirsty sinner yourself. Oh, and he spake of the Holy Spirit that would be given upon believing. And life eternal will be the portion of the one who puts his or her trust in the Savior. And the state of spiritual death is gone. And the dread of eternal death is removed forever. Oh, are you going to live in your sins? And live in the dark? And live in spiritual death? And go out into eternity to thirst forever? Oh, thirsty souls in eternity, thirsting and thirsting forever. And no light, no life, only the second death, which is eternal. Oh, to be in a death that never dies forever and forever. God, write it on your heart and conscience tonight. God, burn it into your soul. Until you get no rest or no peace. Until you are thirsting. And until you are hungering for the bread of life and for a drink of the living water. We thank God for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 4. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for a satisfying portion in Christ. Thank God, dear friend, for the pulses of eternal life beating in the soul of the person who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you one of those persons? Are you one of those persons? Or is it a division tonight between you and me? Is it a division tonight between you and your father? Or you and your mother? Or you and your wife? Or you and your husband? And is it going to be an eternal division? Because you will persist in the path of your own choosing. And I'll mention it now lest I might forget. There are warnings raised upon the pages of Holy Scripture, as well as these exhortations on these words of counsel, on these words of wisdom that are words of warning written for us on the pages of Holy Scripture. And we turn your thoughts to Genesis and chapter 19, and there's a woman, and she ignored the proclamation. The proclamation was, escape for thy life, tarry not in all the plain. Oh, friend, tonight I say again, if it's the last meeting, and if it's the last call, are you on the way to safety? Escape for thy life. Lot's wife ignored the proclamation. There was a division among the people because of the proclamation that he made. When our thoughts go to John chapter 9, we have these words again. This time I want you to think of a division among the people because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that was manifest. Oh, the power of God, the power of heaven, imparting to a man who was born blind his physical sight. What a picture of sinners in the meeting. What a picture of sinners in the world generally. Born blind. Born in sin. Oh, have you learned that solemn lesson yet, friend? Doesn't matter how you came into the world. Doesn't matter where you came into the world. Doesn't matter what family you were born into. You were born a sinner. And you were born with your face to destruction, and you were born with your back to God. And you're farther from God tonight than ever you have been in your experience before. You have wandered, sadly wandered, down the broad and crowded way, near to hell and far from heaven. But He bids thee turn today. Oh, lest I forget to emphasize this point too. The division was because of Him. But I'm going to emphasize that maybe a little more emphatically in the third point. In connection with the thought of the power that was manifest in the incident in John's Gospel, chapter 9, the man was in physical darkness. He had never seen a ray of light. He had never seen a rising or a setting sun. He had never seen a crescent moon. He had never seen a beautiful flower. He had never even seen the face of his own father or mother. He had never seen any of the beauties of creation. He had never seen all the things that you have seen and that I have seen. I wonder, unsaved friend, in this meeting this night, do you appreciate the goodness of God to you? Why were you not born blind? Why were you not born deaf? Why were you not born speechless? Why were you not born almost a cripple, paralyzed, like this other man in John's Gospel? The goodness of God should lead you to repentance. And you have used every blessing that God has bestowed upon you on your own lusts and your own sin and your own will, and you've taken your own way, like the very first man that was born wayward, willful, stubborn, resisting, rebellious. Oh, the descriptions of our Bible about men and women and boys and girls in this gospel meeting who are not saved. Oh, you say, I'll stop. And you say, I'll turn over a new leaf and I'll make a new start. You're as powerless, dear friend, to stop and to turn over a new leaf as that desk is to move down to that door. You're as dead as the wood itself. What you need is the power of Christ that the blind man experienced and that others experienced in this great Gospel of John that we're reading from and preaching the Gospel from. Oh, we rejoice tonight in the words of the beloved Apostle as he writes that he's not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, that's the person. And that's the Him, and that's the He, and that's the one that we're emphasizing tonight. It's the Christ. Wasn't that some of the discussions of the people? This is the Christ, and this is the Prophet. Oh, if they had just but bowed to the thought and acknowledged Him as the Christ and listened to His words as the Prophet, how they could have benefited from it on how they could have been saved, on how they too could have come under the saving power of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the message of the gospel, we constantly remind the unsaved of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Sinner friend, in this meeting, you cannot as much as lift your little finger to the salvation of your precious soul. I know that the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" I know that the young man asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That is just an evidence. That is just an expression of their desire to know salvation. Oh, that you might have the humbling experience of finding yourself in the presence of God with your mouth closed, Romans 3, and with no strength, Romans 5, and finding yourself like the blind man, just willing to obey the simple word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his confession to the Pharisees, I trust that at least some of you noticed, I emphasized two words. He made clay, and I washed. And he has died upon the cross of Calvary, and offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And we have been singing about the value and virtue of the precious blood. And if you came into this meeting tonight, and you never heard a single word, and you just use your eyesight, you'll see the text behind me. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. He has done the work, and all I have to do is to accept it. As a weak, worthless, helpless sinner, I need the power of Christ to save my precious soul. And I would suggest here that the division is connected with light. Light. And I have already reminded you in the opening remarks that those who are not saved, they are in spiritual darkness. Ephesians tells us that. Chapter 4 tells us that our understanding is darkened. And chapter 5 tells us that when we continue in that spiritual state, it's just impossible to separate the sinner from the spiritual darkness that surrounds him and which he is enveloped in. And one of the simplest illustrations that I could give to you is the case of a motorist driving along a country road on a dark night, and there's a black bullock on the middle of the road. You'll hardly see it until you're there. Ooh, the darkness that has descended upon the souls of men and women and boys and girls in this very meeting. What will it be, dear friend, to be in eternal darkness? A darkness that can be felt, and a darkness that has the feature of being like everlasting chains to bind you. Oh, tonight you need the power of Christ. And we thank God that the power of Christ is available. And in that chapter that we have been referring to at the beginning of our Bible, Genesis chapter 1, how God infused the light into this dark creation. The Spirit of God moved. And God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid in them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. My friend in the meeting tonight, have you got some blinds on? You know, the devil puts blinds on, and people put blinds on themselves. Oh, friend, let in tonight the light of Holy Scripture to show you that you were born a sinner, and you have lived a sinner, and you're in danger of dying a sinner, and you're in danger of being a sinner in eternity, in the blackness of darkness forever. No light and no life, just darkness and eternal death. Thank God for Christ, and thank God for the power of Christ, and thank God for the life that he imparts, and thank God for the light that he gives. But now in chapter 10, we feel in our exercise about the preaching of the gospel tonight that the emphasis is on the person himself. Just read very carefully down those verses of John chapter 10, and you will find in as many verses some possible 16 or 17 times the personal pronoun, I. Ooh, what will add to the eternal misery of souls? The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Oh, friend, those verses that you have learned, maybe as I did, from my own mother's knee and from the lips of godly Sunday school teachers, you committed those verses to memory and they'll haunt you forever. And tonight, we present them to you. And in presenting them to you, we present to you Christ. For the message of the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we think of the great apostles that we have been thinking about in the book of the Acts. And Peter takes up his message in chapter 10, and he says, To him, oh, I hope tonight you're not looking at the preachers. And I hope tonight you're not looking at the Christians. I hope you're looking into God's looking glass at yourself and seeing yourself a poor, perishing, dead sinner, and seeing Christ presented as the Savior that can meet your every need. It's to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him, in Him shall receive the remission of sins. And Paul takes up a similar message in Acts chapter 13. And be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. A division because of him and this proclamation and the message of eternal life. Are you divided from us tonight? A division because of him and the power that was exhibited in giving the blind man his sight, and the power that is available to give blind and dead sinners their sight. Oh, friend, a division tonight because of the preciousness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the subject that is under our thinking in John chapter 10 is just His divine love. What caused Him to lay down His life? What caused Him to become the door into heaven? Because He loved us. And He loved us unto death, even to the death of the cross. The company is divided tonight. Your family is divided tonight. I know some of you well enough. Are you going to be divided for all eternity? Because you passed the Savior by. And because you refused the light and the life and the love of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless His word.